part of our study tonight, worshiping the Lord in the beauty of His holiness and entering into song. And this is so important in the Scripture and how the Lord brings it out, even here in the Old Testament. And may I say especially in the Old Testament, because David was a worship leader. He's called the sweet psalmist of Israel. And he actually played on instruments that he designed and invented. And how he spread that beautifully and wonderfully through the ranks of the children of Israel, the Levites, the priestly tribe. As we look at 1 Chronicles 23 tonight, we read the first verse in 1 Chronicles 23. And it says this, that when David was old and full of days, he made Solomon his son king over Israel. Now, in this statement, we read that Solomon is made the king, but David yet had some things to do. And in the course of time, as he was preparing his son to be the king, David was saving gold, silver, and brass, and all kinds of wonderful materials and so forth, and gathering even logs from the cedars of Lebanon to build the temple. And he was preparing also an administration of those that would serve in the temple, an administration that was designed by the Spirit through David that actually lasted through the time of Jesus, 1,000 years. And when Jesus was on the scene, we'll see this later in the Scriptures, the same administration that David had designed for the Levites and the worship in the temple was in existence at the time of Jesus Christ. And we'll see that in the Gospel of Luke a little later. But as we begin then, we see this tremendous administrative gift that David had, along with his gift of music and his gift of worship and his gift of being a strong leader in Israel as king. He had many, many gifts. And so we begin to read then in verse 2 here, as we read that David is moving up on that time to make Solomon his son the king. He gathered together all the princes of Israel with the priests and the Levites. Now, the priests, of course, were those that were related to Aaron, who was the first high priest. The Levites would include the sons of Aaron, but the Levites was a larger group of different families that served the Lord in helping the sons of Aaron, the priests, actually do the sacrifice and so forth. These were the men that helped carry the different parts of the furniture of the tabernacle, that ministered actually to the priestly group in the tribe. And so the Levites were actually the priestly tribe, as we just mentioned, that helped all together, working together, like the body of Christ, really, to serve the Lord in the temple area, in the tabernacle area. So now the Levites were numbered from the age of 30 years and upward, and their number by their polls, man by man, was 38,000. This is about twice as many as when Moses numbered earlier. And so 38,000 Levites in the tribes of Israel, they lived in actually 42 cities that were given to them in the suburbs of all the different tribes. The Levites, the tribe of Levi, never inherited any land in the promised land, but were given certain cities in each, from each one of the tribes, that they would be spread throughout the land to minister the things of God. Now, of the 38,000, 24,000 were set forward the work of the house of the Lord. 6,000 were officers and judges. Moreover, 4,000 were porters or doorkeepers. And 4,000 praised the Lord with the instruments which I made, says David, to praise therewith. Now, we're told very clearly in Amos, and I'll just quote this verse to you, Amos 6:5, that some were inventing instruments of music like David. Like David. David was an inventor of instruments of music. And so we don't know exactly how many instruments he created or invented, but we do know from the Scriptures, again, Amos 6:5, that he was an inventor of instruments, and here he refers to it and refers to actually 4,000 Levites that were assigned, and their only assignment was to praise God on the instruments that David had invented. Now, this subject is really expounded upon as we go through the book of 1 Chronicles. Let's go to verse 30 of the same chapter. Verse 30, it's talking about the ministry of the Levites and so forth. And here we read in verse 30, it says that they were to stand every morning to thank and to praise the Lord, and likewise at the evening, and to offer up all burnt sacrifices and so forth. The sacrifice of praise was included in all the different sacrifices that were brought to God. There was even a sacrifice called the thank offering, that when you wanted to thank God particularly for maybe saving your baby or getting a new tent or whatever, you know, you could bring an animal to the temple or the tabernacle as a thank offering to God and just praise Him with that animal. And so actually thanksgiving, you see, and praise was so much part of the sacrificial system. And David, again, appointing 4,000 of the Levites of the priestly tribe to just do that. That's all they did, day and night. And they did it in different, there's so many of them, in different courses, meaning that there would be an assignment for those from midnight to 3 a.m, assignment for those in the morning, assignment for those in the evening. And they would actually take turns coming to Jerusalem from all over the land, different praisers and worshipers in the Levites, to come and praise God continually in the temple. Actually, the temple wasn't built yet, so at this time at the tabernacle, getting ready for how Solomon would have it done later through the administrative abilities of his father organizing this whole thing. And so 38,000 Levites and 24,000 of them doing the work around the house of the Lord, 6,000 officers and judges, and 4,000 doorkeepers, and 4,000 which praised the Lord on these instruments. Now, let's go on a little bit with this idea, because actually we're told in the scriptures here, let's go to chapter 25, verse 1. Chapter 25, verse 1. Now, on top of these Levites, the 4,000 that were assigned to praise God on the instruments that David invented, it says, moreover, chapter 25, verse 1, David and the captains of the host separated to the service of the sons of Asaph and of Heman and of Jeduthun, who should prophesy with harps, with psalteries, and with cymbals. And the number of the workmen according to their service was, and it begins to list in chapter 25, Asaph, the sons of Asaph, and all of these different names of these that would play and lift up the Lord God Almighty on different instruments and prophesy with them. Now, Asaph, who you will read about in the book of Psalms a lot, he wrote a lot of songs, a lot of psalms. He was assigned to Zion. Now, I'm going to give you a little history on this real quick so we can understand this. David had brought the Ark of the Covenant, as you remember, from the house of Obed-Edom to Zion, to the Temple Mount, actually, where the temple would originally or eventually be built. And he had made a tent there for the Ark of the Covenant. Now, the old tabernacle tent was over in Gibeon, which is about 5 miles north of Jerusalem. So we had actually had two places in those times when God, where God was praised and worshipped continually, and praises going up to His name in song. One was at Mount Zion, where the Temple Mount is today, that David had established that tent for the Ark of the Covenant there. And then the old tabernacle was still in operation under Zadok and Abiathar, the high priest, in Gibeon. And that's where Solomon went to seek the Lord when God asked him, what do you want me to give you? And Solomon, of course, responded with wisdom. So we have to understand there's two places then, that there's a transition going on. The temple hadn't been built yet. So Moses' old tabernacle in Gibeon, and this new tent with the Ark of the Covenant on Zion. Now, Asaph was the worship leader at Zion. He was assigned there. And he and all of his sons that are listed and all the people with Asaph, they would stand and worship God continually up on Mount Zion. Now, these other two men that are mentioned in verse 1 of chapter 25, Heman and Jeduthun, were assigned to Gibeon, assigned to the tabernacle in Gibeon to go there and do what Asaph was doing on Mount Zion, to worship and praise the Lord. And all of the sons and all of the relations and the different ones associated with Heman and Jeduthun then were singing over there. Now, how do we know this? Let's just do a little review. And since we're so close to it, we'll see it in Scripture. Let's turn to chapter 16, verse 37 of 1 Chronicles. Chapter 16, verse 37. Now, this is talking about when David brought the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem. And it says, so he left there before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, Asaph, and his brothers. So there it is, to minister before the Ark continually, as every day's work required. And so there it is. We see Asaph and his brethren there at Mount Zion, where David had brought the Ark and made a tent for it. Now, let's go on to verse 39. And it says, now Zadok the priest and his brethren the priests before the tabernacle of the Lord in the high place that was at Gibeon. And so the other place, Gibeon, is where the tabernacle was, where Zadok the high priest was, and so forth, and they're ministering. Well, let's look at verse 41 and 42. And with them, that is Zadok and his priests, the priests and the brothers there, with them Heman and Jeduthun, the two other names mentioned in 1 Chronicles 25, and the rest that were chosen, who were expressed by name, to give thanks to the Lord, because his mercy endures forever. And with them Heman and Jeduthun, with trumpets and cymbals for those that should make a sound, and with musical instruments of God, and the sons of Jeduthun were porters, or doorkeepers, in Gibeon. And so what we're picturing here, as you picture with me, in the Old Testament, is this crescendo of praise to God. We're going to get some guys over in Gibeon, and they're going to worship their guts out. And we're going to get some guys on Mount Zion, and they're going to be worshiping the Lord, and God will be worshiped and lifted up, and praise will go up, along with the sacrifices that were happening, that the high priests were administrating through the priestly family of Aaron. And this was huge for David. It was huge. And it was a huge, wonderful, beautiful thing. And God says that David, again, we bring this up every time we talk about David, in the Old and the New Testament, he was a man after God's own heart. How God loves to hear his children singing. Oh, Lord, can you hear your children singing? Can you hear your children praying? And man, when we start worshiping God, here, in as you come together, we come together on Wednesday night, Sunday morning, whenever, because we have something almost every day here, and we start singing to God, that is thrilling. That is thrilling in the heartbeat of who God is and what he has for the church through all ages. I always think of the Wesleys when I think of worship. John Wesley was a powerful preacher, started the Methodist Church, and his brother Wesley, no, his brother Charles, sorry, Charles Wesley. He wrote 6,000 hymns. When I first heard that number in a class that I took in college, I just said, what? Come on, 6,000? I mean, this guy just, I love Jesus, and Jesus is wonderful, and after that he's good, you know? I mean, he just went crazy with these hymns. And of course, you probably all heard the story of Handel, you know, that wrote the Messiah. He just sat down and he wrote that whole thing in a spurt. He just sat down and just wrote that thing like in a week or something. He just was so moved by the power of God and to worship. And of course, we still sing it today. It's the Hallelujah chorus, you know, which I'm not even going to attempt to imitate. But you know what I'm saying. Praise is just huge in our worship to God. It's huge. And so we read these things in the book of 1 Chronicles as David is laying out the foundation for the church, the foundation for the temple, the foundation for what would be done. And this was so very important. 4,000 Levites and their whole life was to praise God. That was their whole thing. Their whole existence was to just do that. And David just bringing it forth. David says in Psalm 116, verse 17, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Now, this is carried right over to the New Testament. Right over. Now, before we leave, 1 Chronicles, or we probably already did, but in 1 Chronicles 25, I wanted to point out one more thing. Let's just go back there for a second about this idea of praising God. It's part of prophecy. It's part of the spirit of prophecy, which is the spirit of Jesus. The spirit of prophecy is the spirit of Jesus. We're told that very clearly in the book of Revelation. Now here we see that David and the captains of the host separated to the service of the sons, Asaph and Heman and Jeduthun, who should prophesy. Who should prophesy with harps, with psalteries, and with cymbals. Chapter 25, verse 1, we're still looking at that. Now, this is really important because prophecy is actually to speak forth God's glory. That's what the prophetic word is about, to speak forth God's glory. And so these that were anointed to do this were speaking forth through their instruments and through their voices God's glory, God's greatness, and singing about the power of God. And that's what we're doing here tonight. And that's what musicians for God are about. As God begins to give men and women anointed songs from the Lord. And there are some really anointed ones, aren't there? I mean, boy, some of the songs that come over K-Wave and the fish, you know, the fish. Man, just anointed songs. And we sing them here on Sunday morning. We sing them here on Wednesday night. And one of our brothers, Richard Cathers, who used to be a worship leader here, is now the pastor of Calvary Fullerton, has written some awesome, awesome songs. And the Lord just brings the music. And the music is to the glory of God. It's to the greatness of God. It's prophetic. It's like speaking forth a prophecy. And this is the way God sees it. And as we sing in a group, we're actually teaching one another. The Bible says teaching one another in the psalms and the hymns and the spiritual songs, making melody together in our hearts to the Lord. And so there's a teaching that goes on because the prophetic word of God is moving through those songs in our hearts as we sing to Him and worship Him together. Now, as I said, this is all carried over to the New Testament. And may I say this? The only sacrifice besides well-doing that is carried over to the New Testament from the Old is thanksgiving and praise. That's the only thing. The animal sacrifice is all gone. The sin sacrifice has been taken care of. The burnt offering has been taken care of through Jesus, our Savior. And so the only thing left is for you to praise Him. Is that the truth or no? It is! And you know it. And your faces show it. That's what's left. And so it's carried over to the New Testament. And so when we want to sacrifice to God, man, where we need to begin is just praising His holy name. And we see these guys standing in the morning to praise God and standing in the evening to praise God. And 4,000 of them on instruments that David's cranking out. You play and you sing. And you get over there to Gibeon and you get up to Mount Zion and you praise God. And that's what it's about. Man, so we just want to now look at the scriptures in the New Testament that confirms this for us. Hopefully these are familiar scriptures to you and you have them underlined. Hebrews 13:15. Of course, it's going to include Jesus when you come to it because He's the one we praise, He's the one we thank, He's the one that fulfilled all the other sacrifices. He is the burnt offering to God. He is the sin offering to God. He came and died once and for all. and the animal sacrifices are no more, thank God. I don't know what I would do if I, as a pastor, had to receive little tiny baby lambs from you and kill them. And all the things that he had to do. I don't know if I could. I'd probably learn if God wanted me to do that, but I am so thankful. Jesus came 2,000 years ago, died once and for all, and it's over. It's done. No longer do we ever have to sacrifice an animal again. But it says this in Hebrews 13:15. By him, that is by Jesus, let us, here in the New Testament, offer the sacrifice of praise to God. How often? Continually. Just like David had decided in his mind, in his heart, through the power of the Holy Spirit and the administration that would be carried on through Solomon, there would be continual praise to God, and we're going to get 4,000 guys involved in that. And Asaph and Heman and Jeduthun, and we're going to use them as leaders, and we're going to go for it. And that's what we're to do today. We, by Jesus, are to offer up the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. We're to do that. That's our sacrifice today. That's all that's left. That's all we can do anymore. And it goes on to say, but to do good and to communicate or share, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. And of course, flowing in the Holy Ghost and in praise to him, we're going to be doing good to others, loving others, and we're going to be involved with sharing and communicating with others, and so forth. But you see, the sacrifice of praise is the beginning, and it's the biggie, and it's where David really shined and is bringing forth to us. And so we turn to 2 Thessalonians 5:16. Let's go to that. 2 Thessalonians 5:16. Now, Thessalonians is with all the T's, and it's actually the beginning of the T's. 2 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 16. Oh, really? You know what? Okay, we'll find it. Don't worry. 1 Thessalonians, sorry. You know, I saw 2 Thessalonians up on my other page right next to chapter 5. There you are. You'll forgive me someday. Oh. 2 Thessalonians 5:16. We have right here, right in a row, several things. And now 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says this, rejoice evermore. This is something that has to be done by faith because, of course, the circumstances don't dictate that oftentimes. But the Bible says, rejoice evermore. And it just brings to mind again, that the fruit of our lips giving thanks to him continually. And I go back then to David in 1 Chronicles and his insistence on having these people employed continually to worship the Lord. Just continually. That's what's to be done. And of course, verse 17 says, pray without ceasing. And then verse 18 just reiterates the giving of thanks again, the emphasis on the praise. In everything, give thanks. In every circumstance of life, in all that we do, and as we're going through life, we're to be in everything giving thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. As you are filled with the Spirit of God and walking in the Spirit of God, a note of praise will always be on your heart for God. No matter what the circumstance, no matter what's going on, in everything, we're to give thanks. And so we are going to have, as we're walking in the Spirit and quenching not the Spirit of God in our lives, there's going to be this spirit of praise going on underneath the floorboards of your life. And I know you've noticed this, and we've talked about this before, and I just went through this again last week, is the songs that we sing on Sunday morning and on Wednesday night, you'll find yourself just singing them. You notice that? And even in the heat of the day, you start humming a tune, and it's a praise tune that the Spirit of God is trying to just bring bubble to the surface and to bring out. Because in that praise is God's habitation and is the reality that all things are well. All things have been finished. Jesus Christ said on the cross when he was done with his work to actually completely sanctify us and present us completely clean to God, it is finished. And because it is finished, what's left for us is praise. And so that is what's going to be in our heart when the Spirit is living and alive there. And so that's why the Bible says, rejoice evermore, in everything give thanks. Because it's finished, the work is done. It might not look good right now, but it is good. He does all things well and all things complete. And so that spirit of praise that begins to bubble up, and the song that comes to our minds, we need to give ourselves to it. Just turn yourself over to it and rebuke away the frets and the worries and the fears, and let the song come. Just let the song come. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Don't quench the Spirit. Lord, I can't really have a spirit of praise for you right now because I'm too busy worrying. I'm too busy with my complete fear right now. And so, you know, I know it'll probably work out, but, you know, I just want to worry until it does. Thank you very much, but I'm going to quench your Spirit now. Don't do that. And I'm pointing at me when I'm saying that, because we all struggle with it. But, oh, quench not the Spirit. And then it says here in verse 20, despise not prophesying. And didn't we not just see back in 1 Chronicles 25:1 that the instruments and the song and the music is prophecy? Don't despise prophesying. You know, I have a real testimony to share about this. A few years back, there was a brother that came to me, and he said, you know, Pastor Mark, he said, when I first came to the church, I didn't like the singing. I'm just not a singing man, you know. And he said, so we'd come late on purpose just to hear the message, you know, and then we'd go home. But he said, I want to tell you, as I got there a little early, you know, for the message, and then a little earlier, and I began to worship the Lord and really praise God with the musicians and the singers, he said, you know, now, when the worship's over, I go, oh, no, the worship's over. And I actually had that feeling tonight, and I imagine that's why, you know, because the Lord knew I'd be teaching on this, but I really did have that feeling tonight. You know, I thought when Gary had to stand up and then sit down again, I thought, oh, great, there's going to be another song. And I saw Margaret shuffling the things. I thought she was looking for the next song, and I'm going, yeah, you know. And it was over, you know. But you see, that's the thing. God dwells in that worship time. It's so important. So I want to encourage any of you that are kind of in that stage where you go, well, it's just the worship, we can be late, you know. Don't do that. Come and worship the Lord in the beauty of His holiness. This is a worship service. And it's so important to God. And we see it with His man, David. How important is it? Well, let's get 4,000 guys in here to start singing to God to lead us. To just praise the Lord and look to the Lord and praise and worship and thanksgiving. It's beautiful. And so despise not prophesying. Don't despise the worship time ever, but enter into it. And you know, don't you know, the devil doesn't like this at all. And so, you know, he'll to lie to some to get come to church late because you don't really want to get into the singing, you know. And then there's others, and there's others of us who have things in our minds. And you sit down to worship the Lord, and the music starts, and you're thinking about, you know, your golf shot or something, you know, I don't know, whatever. And instead of the worship, instead of really talking to the Lord through the song, but you know, if each one of us can bring every thought into captivity to Jesus Christ, just begin to concentrate on the words of the songs and begin to sing to Him, we're going to be mightily teaching the person next to us to do the same. And all of a sudden, there's a sweetness that will rise from this place that blesses the ears of God and blesses His people all around us. And we felt that, haven't we? Haven't we felt that? Oh, yes, we have felt that. But if we don't enter in, then you won't get that sense that that's happening, because it's not happening to me or you personally. And so I want to encourage you to really enter in to worshiping God and really working in the Spirit with the Lord to be more thankful, because actually his perfect will for us is right here. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. And there's a lifting and a beauty there that really goes on. Well, let's go on back then to 1 Chronicles, and we want to go on with this administrative ability that David has. It's just phenomenal. 1 Chronicles and 23. And we stopped at verse 5. So we're talking about the instruments that David made. Now it says in verse 6 then that David divided them, that is the Levites, into courses among the sons of Levi, namely Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. And that's not for Rari, it's Merari. But there's three families here within the Levites: Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. Now the fourth is Aaron's family, who were the priests, and to actually do the sacrificial offerings and to minister to the people that way. These three families that David divided into courses, and what that means to divide into courses is that they would take turns. They would take turns coming to the areas of worship to serve. And there were, remember, 38,000 of them. So these other three families were families that did not serve as far as doing the sacrificial offerings and burning incense before God. But these were the ones originally that carried the instruments of the tabernacle. With Gershom, he carried the curtains. He and his family carried the curtains and the hangings in the tabernacle. If you remember, some of you might remember when we had the tabernacle up out here, before the grass was in, it was actually on the asphalt, but there were curtains involved, and you would go in within into a tent, the tent of a meeting, and you'd see the curtains and the hangings with the beautiful cherubim on them and all. Well, Gershom and his family members were assigned to carry the curtains and carry the hangings. Now, Kohath, the next man mentioned, and his family members were ordained to carry the furniture, the Ark of the Covenant, the table of showbread, the candelabra. All these things were carried by the Kohathites. And now, the thing with that is, they weren't allowed to touch them. Remember what happened to poor, what was his name again? Uzzah. Yes, okay. They touched the Ark of the Covenant and dropped dead. So, they couldn't touch them. But the priest would cover the Ark of the Covenant, and come in and cover the table of showbread. And there were rings and all these things, if you remember, in the building and construction of them. And they put poles through them. So now, when the Kohathites came in to get these things, all they would see is the covered piece of furniture with poles sticking out that were through the rings. And so they would just pick them up and carry them. So this is what they would do. Then the family of Merari would carry the boards. And there's different boards in the structure of the tabernacle. And you saw this, if you saw the tabernacle out here, the boards would fit into little sockets. Now, the bars and the sockets and the pillars and the boards were all carried by the family of Merari. Now, what's happened is the tabernacle has come to rest at Gibeon. They no longer need to carry these things because the trek through the wilderness is finished. So now David now is going to administrate these families into new jobs. So let's just go ahead and read on a little bit. Now, so in verse 6, and starting in verse 7 then, it lists the Gershonites and their family members and their sons and so forth and down through the generations. And I want you to notice that here in verse 13, now these are the sons of Kohath, and it says here that the sons of Amram was Aaron and Moses. So if you ever wonder, when you watch the movie The Ten Commandments, how they knew that Moses' dad's name was Amram, it's right here. This is your verse. 1 Chronicles 23:13. The sons of Amram were Aaron and Moses. Now, if you look then in verse 15, you actually get the names here of the sons of Moses. They said, how do you know what Moses' son's name was? 1 Chronicles 23:15, the sons of Moses were Gershom and Eleazar. So there they are right there. Now let's go on, and it goes on to list other names and so forth. But then we get to verse 24, and it says this. Now these were the sons of Levi after the house of their fathers, even the chief of the fathers, and they were counted by number of names by their polls, that did the work for the service of the house of the Lord, from the age of 20 years old and upward. For David said, "The Lord God of Israel has given rest unto his people, that they may dwell in Jerusalem forever. And also unto the Levites, they shall no more carry the tabernacle." David realizes this. Kohathites, the Gershomites, and the Merarites are no longer going to have to carry the tabernacle, nor any of the vessels for the service thereof. For by the last words of David, the Levites were numbered from 20 years old and above, because their office was to wait on the sons of Aaron for the service of the house of the Lord in the courts and in the chambers and in the purifying of all holy things. So they had new jobs now. They were to wait and to help the sons of Aaron in the courts of the Lord, in the chambers of the temple that was to be built, and in the purifying of all holy things, and the work of the service of the house of God, both for the showbread and for the fine flour of meat offering. They were to help prepare those things, and for the unleavened cakes, and for that which is baked in the pan, and for that which is fried, and for all manner of measure and size, and to stand every morning to thank and to praise the Lord, likewise as in the evening, and to offer all burnt sacrifices unto the Lord in the Sabbaths, in the new moons, on the set feasts, by number, according to the order commanded unto them, continually before the Lord, and that they should keep the charge of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the charge of the holy place, and the charge of the sons of Aaron, their brethren, in the service of the house of the Lord. And so David then, not leaving them unemployed, but actually switching their job, new job training, that they would now help the sons of Aaron in the administration. And of course, praise the Lord, with this huge difference between the tabernacle, which was very small, and it was actual size out here, for those that saw it when it was out here, it was actual size. And it's not very big at all. The whole tabernacle itself was only about as, well, it wasn't even as long as the stage. It was about right here where the little projector is to the end there. That's just all the bigger it was. But the thing is that when Solomon built the temple, now that was some mighty structure. And all the chambers involved the temple where the priests lived, and they had staircases, actually spiral staircases, on the sides of the temple. And it was just huge. And so the service there, you see, and all of these men then, you see, would then be added to the help that Aaron's sons needed in going ahead and doing the different parts, kind of like creating the body of Christ. And it was really a wonderful thing, each one with their part. Now, as I mentioned, David made up 24 courses, which would mean that each family would come and maybe serve like 8 days a year. 8 days a year, because there were so many of them, 38,000 Levites altogether. And so like a group of family would come and serve the Lord with their particular duties about 8 days a year. And they would cast lots on what their particular service would be. That's the way they did it. They would cast a lot and say, okay, so-and-so, a brother John over here, he will minister in this way, and because that's the lot he got for this time, for this year, in the service of the temple. So this was all set up by David, and this is what's going on here. Now, if you'll notice, and I had a problem with this at first, but I got into it really deeply, and so let's look at verse 3 of chapter 23. Now it says, now the Levites were numbered from age 30 years and upward. They didn't begin their service till they were 30 years old. Now, this is a neat thing to look at when you know that Joseph, he became the king over Egypt at age 30 years old. And we know that Jesus began his ministry at 30 years old. So this was an ordained number that God gave Moses for the priests to begin their ministry, 30 years old. And by the way, That's when I became a head pastor at 30 years old, and that really blessed me. And I got a card from somebody that said, from 30 years old, you know. But on the other hand, Greg Laurie started as a full-time head pastor at age 19. Well, he fits closer to what David did. Let's go over to verse 27. By the last words of David, the Levites were numbered from 20 years old and above. So David brought the age down. He just wanted more people to be involved. And since they weren't carrying things through the wilderness anymore, and, you know, probably the more immature would be more prone to drop stuff or whatever, the age was 30. But here David, and the reason given is that they were no more, verse 26, they were no more to carry the tabernacle nor the vessels of its service thereof. They weren't into that anymore. That he included in bringing the age down to 20 years old and up. By the way, I have an announcement about Greg Laurie, and I don't want to forget to give it to you. Greg Laurie is going to be on Larry King Live tomorrow at 9 p.m. So set your recorders if you're out. But if you're home, you can turn it on. That would be neat to see him on Larry King Live. Okay, so with that then, we have this administrative process that David has brought. Now, let's go on to chapter 24, and we get into a sad thing, but a good thing for us to be sharpened with, okay? So in chapter 24, now it says this. Now these are the divisions of the sons of Aaron. Now Aaron was the whole family unto himself, because this is the first high priest. And these are all the priests that do the sacrifices and so forth. So these are the divisions of the sons of Aaron. The sons of Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar. But Nadab and Abihu, his first two born, died before their father and had no children. Therefore, Eleazar and Ithamar executed the priest's office. Now, what happened to those boys? Now, it is recorded in Numbers chapter 3, verse 4, Nadab and Abihu died before the Lord when they offered strange fire before the Lord. This is also recorded in Leviticus 10, verse 1. And I want to take you to the Leviticus scripture because in Leviticus it gives us an idea, possibility, what was wrong with these boys. And we don't want to get that wrongness wrong with us, right? So let's go to Leviticus 10, 1. Leviticus chapter 10 and verse 1, Leviticus 10, 1, says, now, Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer. Now, the priest's duty was to go through the first curtain into the holy place with their censers, with incense in them, and they would go to the altar of incense and put the burning coals on the altar of incense to represent the prayers of the saints. This incense was to be made out of a very special concoction that would include frankincense and many other spices that was a sweet smell to the Lord. And it was to represent the prayers of the saints, which we read in Revelation, is a sweet aroma or a sweet smell to the Lord, before the Lord, the incense going up before the throne of God, which are the prayers of the saints. Now, these two, they took their censers, and it says they put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. And so they brought the strange fire in before God. Now you can do a lot with this verse, as you well imagine, and there's been a lot done with it. That they did not mix the mixture just right, and they took it in before the Lord, and it's like trying to approach God through some other door than Jesus, kind of like that, where it's strange to the Lord, and the Lord cannot receive any other way except through Jesus Christ. There's only one God and one mediator between God and man, that's the man Christ Jesus. And so anything else is strange to the Lord. It says if anyone tries to enter in by another door, and Jesus is the door, this is John chapter 10, the same as a thief and a robber. And so we can see this message in here with Nadab and Abihu, burning strange fire before the Lord, something he doesn't see and understand, that doesn't smell sweet to him. It was some other concoction. Now, there is a hint further on in Leviticus right here in the same chapters when God begins to speak to Aaron about it, that seems to work into it in an outward thing that they had done that had perverted the judgment, had perverted the statutes of the Lord. Now let's take a look down at Leviticus chapter 10, verse 8. And it says this, the Lord spoke unto Aaron. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations. And that you put difference, that you might put a difference between the holy and the unholy, between the unclean and the clean. Now God gives the reason that they're not to drink and to go in to burn incense before the Lord. The reason being that they can tell the difference between clean and unclean. In other words, their judgment won't be impaired by the booze. To tell the difference between the clean and the unclean. And that you teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord has spoken unto them by the hand of Moses. They won't forget any of the teaching they're to do to the sweet people of God. They won't confuse the statutes of the Lord with the reasonings and the laws of men. But they'll be able to teach clearly all the statutes of the Lord. They weren't to drink wine or strong drink when they went in to minister in the tabernacle of the congregation, lest they die. And so there is an kind of an inference here, and many scholars see it this way, and I really agree, that these guys were drinking. They were drinking and just kind of taking nonchalant judgments about the things of God. And maybe they mixed up their mixture of the incense that they were mixing wrongly because they were drinking. And so it was strange fire to the Lord, nevertheless, and could very well be because of their impaired judgment in doing such holy things in their drinking. Now, we have also an exhortation in Proverbs 31 along these same lines using the same reasoning. Let's go to Proverbs 31 and verse 4. Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 4. This is a proverb actually written to a king named Lemuel. And this is an instruction given to him by his mother. God bless those moms. And this is what's written. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink. Why? Lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. So what do we see in the scripture here? We see Aaron. It's not for you as a priest or your sons to ever drink wine or strong drink, lest you die. You go into minister before the congregation because you're going to pervert judgment. That you might know the difference between the clean and the unclean. To keep all the statutes of the Lord. And here we see it's not for kings and princes to drink wine or strong drink, lest they pervert judgment. The same reasoning, the same thing for the priests and for the king. Now, brothers and sisters, who are you? You are kings and you are priests. And it's not for priests nor kings to drink wine or strong drink. Because you are a continual witness of the love and the statutes and the beauty of Jesus Christ. And you can pervert that judgment. And you can really hurt somebody out there in the world that needs the love of Jesus desperately. If you're joining in with them with the wine and strong drink as a king and a priest. For that's who you are. And that's what Revelation, the book of Revelation chapter 1 says you are. I often shared the testimony where Sherry and I were 20 years old. We just got strong with Jesus. And we went to a party. And we took a beer just like everybody else at the party. And we were so in love with Jesus from going to Sunday school. Maybe the first time, I can't remember now. What age we got saved at the Baptist church, and we came to this party, and we couldn't keep our mouth shut about Jesus at this party drinking beer. And this one girl said, "Oh, well, do Christians drink beer?" And Sherry's standing there with the beer in her hand. She looks down and looks at her and says, "Well," and she just couldn't say anything. She just kind of went, you know, and she just looked at her with and walked away. Man, they're watching. They're watching you real close. And that could be the difference of whether you can be a good witness to somebody to eventually go to heaven or a bad witness for someone because you've perverted judgment to go to hell. And God wants you and I to make a difference in this world. But I just want to encourage you, think about this. You are a king. And oh, Lemuel, it's not for kings or princes to drink wine or strong drink. And you are a priest. Aaron, the sons of Aaron, were not to do that, lest they wouldn't be able to judge between the clean and the unclean. And of course, we all know, if you have just a little too much, judgment goes out the window. And it's just not a good thing. So I want to encourage you with that and sharpen you and I with it. You know, you can take the scripture, take a little wine for your stomach's sake and change it to Rolaids. Every wino knows that verse. Don't use that verse as an excuse. Rolaids work real good. And in fact, I won't get into all my medications, let's forget that. Okay, let's go back to 1 Chronicles 23, 24, and we want to finish up here. Okay. So we read on, and it says then in verse 3, it said, Nadab and Abihu died before their father and had no children. But it says in verse 3, and David distributed them both Zadok, of the sons of Eleazar, and Ahimelech, the sons of Ithamar, according to their offices in their service. And there were more chief men found of the sons of Eleazar than of the sons of Ithamar, and thus were they divided. Now see, David, again, administrating the kingdom, administrating the worship times, administrating the numbers that were involved and being fair to each one, that each one would get their turn, and so forth. And we find out how that happens here in verse 5. It says, thus they were divided by lot. Now, what is a lot? Well, Lot is Abraham's nephew. A lot is when you take a vessel of some kind and you put different rocks that are colored different or something, and each one means something, and you reach in and pick it out, and you find out, you know, what you're supposed to do. Years ago at Palm Springs, the boys all wanted to eat different things, and we didn't know what restaurant to go to, so we put different restaurants into my baseball hat. And we picked to see which restaurant we'd go to, and we picked out the restaurant that actually we found out was across the street, so we didn't have to drive. It was so neat, and we walked across the street, and it was the Lord. The Lord was honoring our lots. We prayed. You know, we did. We prayed and said, look, we're going to draw lots. We went over there, and lo and behold, it was amazing. This was one of those restaurants that sells everything. And each boy was able to get exactly what they were dreaming in their minds to have. It was really something to see. It was God. It was a miracle. I think Jeremiah wanted pancakes. Pancakes for dinner. You know, what do you, kids do that. Jimmy wanted his proverbial hot dog. I mean, just give me a hot dog, Dad. And of course, then John and Josh were always more exotic, you know, and they wanted, you know, spaghetti and meatballs and, you know, things like that. And of course, I wanted my steak. So, and the Lord did it. It was amazing, amazing. But anyway, this is the way they did it. They would draw lots to see who would serve, as I shared earlier before. Now, there's a whole list of names there. We're not going to read all those names. And we get down to verse 18, and it says, the 3 and 20th to Damar, and the 4 and 20th to Mazaziah. Okay, so now we see there's 24 lots drawn here. and to see which course would go at what time and so forth. So they had 24 courses, and this is where we get this from the Bible, from this verse. Now, why have I gone into this so meticulously tonight? There's a reason, because it helps us to understand. It'll help you in your reading of the Gospel of Luke. You'll understand it better. And then it goes on in verse 19. We'll end here and then go to Gospel of Luke. These were the orderings of them in their service to come unto the house of the Lord according to their manner under Aaron their father, as the Lord God of Israel had commanded him. And then it goes on and talks about the whole rest of the list of the different names of the people involved. Now let's go to Luke, and real quickly, because we're 1 minute over time and I'm finishing right now. So let's go to Luke. And see, this is one of those things that when you're a young Christian and you read chapter 1 of the Gospel of Luke, you have no idea what they're talking about. But because of this Bible study tonight in 1 Chronicles about the courses and the lots that were cast to see what each one would do when they had their course or their family came to serve in the temple, and there were 24 courses, you understand then the Gospel of Luke. So let's turn to Luke chapter 1, and we'll just look at a few verses there. And I'm still looking for Luke. I've only been a pastor for 30 years, and I'm still looking for Luke. Okay, Luke chapter 1 and verse 5. And I'm just going to read verses 5 through 9, and you're going to know exactly what it means right away because of the study tonight. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abiah. And his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and the ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And so right away, you picture in your mind exactly what's going on. He was of one of the 24 courses that carried even from the time of David to the time of Jesus. Even after the captivity, they just established 24 courses again. Why? Because King David had set it up with 24 courses. And Zechariah was of the course of Abiah. And it was his turn with his family to serve at the temple. And his lot was to burn the incense, to come through the Holy of Holies to the altar of incense and to burn that incense before the Lord. And the angel Gabriel appeared to him and told him that he was going to have a baby, John the Baptist. And John the Baptist is the cousin of Jesus Christ. And John the Baptist was the forerunner to come to prepare the way of the Lord. And so we see that and we read that and understand it because you have the depth of what we just read in the Old Testament. Now I just want to say this in ending. The Old Testament is so very important for your Christian walk because it adds to all of these things that you see in the New Testament, the richness of the explanation of what in the world is going on. There it is. And it's beautiful to see it in operation. And so the Lord setting up the whole administration through David and carrying through to the time of Jesus. Well, let's stand and pray together. And next week we're going to finish the rest of 1 Chronicles. Father, we do thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you for the exhortations that are there. We thank you for the exhortation of praise. And Lord, thank you for the opportunity to praise you in song tonight. And Lord, I want to pray, my brothers and sisters, Lord, that as they begin finish their week, beginning tomorrow and through the rest of the week, Lord, and myself, Lord, that we would be in the spirit of praise and thanksgiving. In everything, giving thanks. For this is your will concerning us in Christ Jesus. And Lord, we pray also, Father, in Jesus' name, that you would help us never to pervert judgment or to cause a brother or sister to stumble by the things that we do. Lord, help us. Lord, help any one of us here that happen to be alcoholics, recovering alcoholics, or those that are struggling with the booze or the drugs. Lord, help each one, Father. And Lord, just help us to come together with clean heads and having our heads on straight, Lord. And so we thank you so very much, Father, and give you the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. May the Lord just continue to fill you with the spirit of praise and thanksgiving. which is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name continually. May that song rise so loudly and so beautifully from your heart up to the Lord that all of your problems, difficulties, and fears just won't be there. Don't try to drive the darkness out. Just turn on the light. The light of Jesus. Praise His holy name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.